All right, I'm going to do something I'm not supposed to do. How many folks have actually heard of or read any of the book of Jonah? Anyone? All right. Now, I'm guessing almost everyone here can tell me something about the book of Jonah. What's the one thing we all know about Jonah? What happened to him? He gets swallowed by a whale or a large fish, as the scriptures say. See? That wasn't so hard. It wasn't Jesus either. Isn't that amazing? The book of Jonah is such an interesting one. This is like the only reading I think we have in our lectionary. It's just this little snippet from the end of the book of Jonah, which is a relatively small book from the section of the Old Testament called the Minor Prophets. But it fits really well in that what I've been thinking a lot about kind of in the new year, in this season, has been this idea of call. And I think that's very much in keeping with what our readings and what our the sentiments kind of our liturgy is this time of year, right? We've had the baptism of Jesus. We've had the anointing of Jesus at his baptism. We've had now today the calling of the first disciples. There's this idea of kind of something building to what's next. And if you're here very long, you hear me often talk a lot about this idea of following your heart, of the call of God in your heart, following where that leads you. And encouraging you that if that leads you somewhere strange or unusual or somewhere that seems really, you know, out of the norm, that's probably okay. Because in the church, we tend to really, in my experience, be afraid of the freedom that comes in Christ. We tend to be pretty afraid of where that freedom might lead. And I'd like to stand before you and really encourage you to live into that freedom and see where it takes you. See where God and the call of God and the Holy Spirit in your life is leading you. Because in my experience, it's often very tempting to not listen to that call. And it's not just because I think a lot of times that call will lead us into uncomfortable places, which it often does. But I think sometimes, at least for me, there's a lot of fear that comes with something unknown, something that doesn't necessarily seem like where my strengths lie. You know, it doesn't really seem like where I would normally want to go, but where I feel my heart leading me. It can be a very scary place. And that's a lot of what the book of Jonah is about. Because if you read the Hebrew scriptures, it is filled with stories of God making commands of the people of Israel and the nations around them, of them disobeying, and of God's wrath being kindled. And it's a very intense series of books. And then you have Jonah, right? This like 3-chapter book kind of nestled toward the back, where Jonah is just this everyday person. He's not one of the great prophets. He's not someone that has spent his life being told by God what to do or where to go. He's just some guy that God says, I want you to go to Nineveh, which probably doesn't mean anything to us, but Nineveh is the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, right? It's this huge empire that is kind of sweeping through the northern area of the ancient Near East and taking everything over. They are the juggernaut. They are the people to be feared. They are the enemy. They are the heathen, right? And God says to Jonah, go and proclaim and go and call the people of Nineveh to repentance. And Jonah's like, I don't want to do that. Like, that's stupid. Why would I? I mean, even if I don't want to go to Nineveh, this foreign land of people I don't like and don't want to associate with, and your own law tells me not to associate with. And he's like, and second of all, I don't want to call them to repent because I don't want them to repent, right? I'm happy with them being the unrepentant hordes to the north because that, you know, that's a safe place to be. And so that's, and if you weren't, that's why the fish swallows him up. Because God's like, okay, well, I'm just going to drag you there. And so, like, the story is, like, he gets swallowed by a fish, is in the belly for 3 days, and is vomited up on the beach in Assyria, right? And so he's there, and he's like, fine, I'll go to Nineveh. And he walks to Nineveh, and if you notice, like, the subtle remarks in the reading today, it says, Nineveh is an exceedingly large city, right? 3 days' walk across. If you had a message from God to a people in a city, I would think you'd at least go to the center of the city to make that proclamation. But notice it specifically says he walks a day into the city. So he doesn't even go all the way into the city. He kind of just goes part of the way. He's like, I've had it. This is far enough. And this is his whole sermon, right? 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Nothing else. It's like he's trying as hard as he can to like leave these folks hanging out to dry. And what happens in all the rest of the stories is everyone ignores him and laughs at him, and he goes home, which is what he's expecting. But what does it say next? And the people of Nineveh believed in God and proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. I love this story. I love that, I get the resistance to wanting to do what, like, I just know God wants me to do. It's like, I don't like those people. I don't want to leave my home. I'm really happy here. And now I don't know if a fish actually swallowed up this man. Was he swimming? I don't know how this happened, right? I don't know if that is if the sensational part of the story is that important. What I think is important for us to draw is that there is someone who did not want to follow the call of God in his life. And God decided that hell or high water, he was going. And whatever method it was, whether it was a giant fish or whether it was just something else, he made his way where God was calling him to go. And begrudgingly offered the call of repentance to the people there. And lo and behold, they repented, right? Now, I don't know, I mean, I have a hard time imagining an entire city just like falling over, you know, into a totally different way of life. I don't know how much of this is symbolic and how much of this is reality. And I'm not really here to argue one way or the other for you. But I think the story itself really has a message that we can hold on to thousands and thousands of years later. And that's that God is going to lead us in strange places and places we don't want to go. I think a lot of times people hear me say, follow the call of God in your heart. And hear that and think, oh, that seems so easy, right? That means I just do what I want to do. Well, I'm not quite saying the same thing. A lot of times I think it's the same thing. But what I'm saying is follow the things in your life that you're passionate about, that give you life, that for whatever reason just you know are right in your soul. And I'm guessing all of us at one point or another have experienced that, or at least have had a taste of what that's like. And I'm guessing most, if not all of us, have also known what it's like to not live in that space. To feel like whatever we're doing at a particular moment is what we have to do. It's not what we want to do, but it's just what's before us, and we've just got to kind of soldier through and push through and get to the other side. There's plenty of that in life as well. And I'm not saying that's going to go away because we follow Jesus. In fact, by all accounts in the scripture, there's even more of that kind of garbage for us to sort through some of the time. There's suffering and there's difficulty and there's all kinds of stuff mixed with this life. But what I'm starting to think about and to realize is what I'm reflecting on more and more is the way in which we live into this call in the everyday. I'm guessing most of us are not called to go to a large people in a city and tell them to repent. That if we don't go, we're going to be swallowed by a fish and dragged there against our will. I'm guessing God's movement is a bit more subtle in your life. Maybe not. And what I'm starting to notice is when I hear stories of people who are coming through some kind of crisis, who are doing drastic changes to their lives, kind of almost in fear of whether it's getting older or of life changes or of things not turning out the way they expect. I see this a lot, and maybe that's just because I'm entering into that middle age place where they have the proverbial middle age crisis, but I do see this moment, and I don't know if this is what it is for everyone, but this point of where you kind of realize you're kind of in, you know, like, you're always, hold on a second, how do I say this? That you're kind of entering the second half, right? You're kind of like, the days are getting shorter rather than longer on the other side. And that you're not where you expect to be. I don't know very many people that when they hit, you know, 40, 45 are exactly where they expected to be their whole lives. Most people I know are somewhere different. And for most people, it's not bad. It's just different from where they expected. And I've known a lot of people where that has caused a lot of panic when they realize that. A lot of uncertainty and a lot of anxiety. And I don't know if that's what the midlife crisis is, but I have a hunch that has something to do with it. And wherever you are, whether that's something you've experienced and is long past behind you, whether that's something you live with on a day-to-day basis, whether that's something you just can't even really imagine happening, I think all of us at one point or another struggle with our purpose and our place in this life. And maybe it just feels more present as I spend a lot of time with the millennial generation whose kind of reputation is just not knowing, you know, really wanting to figure out what they want to do and doing it, wanting to follow their hearts. I mean, the millennial generation is big on, I don't want to do anything if it's not what I love to do. You know, and then older generations look at them and say, well, you have to get a job, so tough it out, right? This seems to be the proverbial, like, conflict that I've experienced in my life. And living right on the cusp of those two generations, I really get it. And I think that's no matter what generation we're in, that's something we wrestle with, right? Are we doing what we're passionate about? Are we doing something that gives us life? Are we doing something that calls us into the future that God has created for us? Or are we doing something else? And what I hope this place is, meaning like the church, a place to come and worship, a community to come and gather with. Yes, it's about our ritual and our practice. It's about the sacraments. It's about being reminded and receiving God's grace in the midst of our worship. It's about coming and worshiping a God who we believe is worthy of worship, even when we don't understand that God all the time. But along with that, what I hope this community is and offers is a place where each and every one of us and anyone that comes in off the street can settle in and know that they are supported, know that you are supported as you figure out this thing called life, as you try to get comfortable with what you feel God has called you to, what you feel passionate about, and the realities of the life in which you lead, and the necessities that you have to kind of go through and put up with in the midst of it. This is a lot, I think, of what I'm talking about when I talk about the messiness of life. It's just, it's all in there, right? If I just told you, just go and only do things you really want to do, it would be terrible advice. And so I really want to make the distinction between that sentiment and the idea of going and following what God has placed in your life, the call of God in your life. And I wish I could do, I've been going back and forth, how do I kind of present this? How do I talk about this? And so I can only really give my experience of it. But I've had a pretty huge transition in the last couple of years. For the most of my life, I had this trajectory and this idea of where I was going and what I was doing, right? I was going to date, and I was going to get married, and then I got ordained in the midst of this, and I was going to work in a church and care for whatever people I was called to. You know, I was planning to have kids and have a family and all this stuff, right? This kind of normal trajectory that I see so many people and so many of my friends at the time doing. And then I get divorced, and that whole thing kind of crumbles away. All those ideas, and all of a sudden now I'm not 20-something anymore looking toward the future. I'm now 30-something looking to the future, and all of this has kind of been undone. So what do I do? And so I went through my own crisis, and I'm probably still going through it, let's be honest, for the last couple of years, as I try to rework and refigure out who I am in this space. And what I realized is I had all of this stuff that I had kind of convinced myself was the right way to live, was the right thing to do, but really wasn't what God was calling me to. And I had to start kind of deconstructing and start rethinking and re-exploring what it was that God was calling me to. And I cannot describe how much happier and how much more joy I have in life now than I did 10 or 15 years ago. Because I'm in this space where I'm really finally allowed myself the freedom to just follow and seek out the things that God is placing before me and calling me into. And doing a much better job of kind of setting down the things that I think like I'm supposed to be doing, but aren't really what God wants me to do. And I don't know if that makes any sense to you where you are, but if it does, I invite you to live in that mess and into that space. To really let yourself be challenged by God's Spirit in your heart. To really let yourself ask the question, is this really where I need to be or what I need to be doing? Is this what God is calling me to? Is this what brings life both to me and to this world? And to start wrestling in that space. With all the ups and downs of this world, with all the hard and the good and the beautiful and the painful that we experience, I do believe there is a God who loves us and is with us. And I know that sometimes that is hard to believe, and sometimes that feels like the most distant thing that you could possibly imagine. But I stand here because still to this day, through all the ups and downs, I am just utterly convinced of this message and of the good news of this gospel. And maybe that's what my job here is simply to stand before you, not having all the answers or very many answers, but just being able to testify to my own experience that in all of it, in the messiness and the craziness, God has met me where I am and been with me in the good and the bad. And that somehow that has led me to this place, to this congregation, and I am overjoyed to be a part of it. Now, I'm guessing most of you are not called to be a priest. Maybe some of you are, and we can talk about that if you feel that. But you're called to something. God is, you know, has something for you in this world. And when we talk about God having a plan for your life, you know, I think we use that phrase. I'm really, really like allergic to that phrase because I think it's often used to mean like, oh, everything's going to work out great and everything's going to be perfect because you're a Christian. That's not what I think that means. What I think it means is God has a purpose for you in this place and invites you into that. And being able to live into that brings life both to you, to the people around you, and to this world. Brings light evermore into this world and into your life. And then that's what I desire. That's what God desires for you this day and every day. My hope is that you don't need to be swallowed by a fish and spit up on some foreign land before you start listening to what that call is. And sometimes I don't wonder if the kind of my history and the divorce that I went through wasn't my own version of being spit up on the beach. Because there are things about life now that are harder than they have ever been. And yet I can't help but feel like I'm in a better place than I've ever been before. And it's this crazy thing. You don't have to be okay. You don't have to have it all figured out. And I don't need you to have it all figured out, to be here, to be a part of this place. And God doesn't need you to have it all figured out to use you in this world. And I think that's a huge mistake we often make. That once I kind of get to here, then God can use me. Once I get to here, then I'll be okay. Once I get to here, then everything will work out. Whether we ever get to here, whatever the here is for you in your mind, God is with you where you are right now. God is walking with you, and this community is gathered around you to support you wherever you feel called to go. And I want to support and encourage you in that. And I want this place to be a place where you can be comfortable figuring that out and making the mistakes that come along with figuring that out. That you don't ever have to worry about being shunned or looked down upon or cast out because of what you do or don't do. Because if you're following the call of God in your heart, you're going to make mistakes. That's what the grace of God is about. Church isn't about having it all figured out so you're this great, perfect Christian. It's about living in the ups and the downs, the good and the bad, the right and the wrong, the mistakes and the successes of our lives together. For me, that is real life. For me, that is what following God is about. And I am so excited to be able to share that and do that here in this space with you. And I hope that you feel you have the freedom to do that here. I hope you feel you have the freedom to fail in this space. And the freedom to succeed. Amen.